To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbine speed.
Transmission commencing.
My name is Optimus Prime.
All wings, check in.
Red 3, standing by.
And you are listening to Weeby Geeks, episode 40. I am Mike, your host. On the other side of the table, we've got Eric, Algin, and Aaron.
Hi, Mike.
And, hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, we had such a great show.
So why don't you explain what happened to that, Mike?
And because we also had Derek, who's one of our new columnists for Weeby Geeks, and we had Jessica and Liz, who... also of Weeby Geeks. Liz is a new columnist as well. And we had some technical difficulties. So you are now listening to the live podcast decoy of Weeby Geeks.
Awesome.
The podcast's so
Mike,
nice. We're doing
Mike,
it twice.
That's your best joke on this show since I've been on it.
So are we already going to start the drinking game references on this show since we're doing it twice and your listeners are going to be like, what are they talking about?
No. If we started drinking, I've got a bottle of exported Russian vodka sitting up there.
Whoa.
I'd be out after the first shot.
Nice.
Yeah, this stuff's almost like the Tennessee moonshine. You just feel that line go, woo.
I know. Yeah. Well, way to go, Ric Flair. Nice. you want to hear Mike do his Ric Flair impersonation? He's going to give him some Tennessee moonshine. That'll work every time.
I'm sure that's how Ric Flair stayed in the business.
Exactly.
Oh.
Hey,
so,
all right.
So as you can tell by the interruption of our normal theme song for this week, we're going to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. and its premiere for the second time tonight.
Yes. So we're going to be going, no, we already talked about that. Oh, wait, Mike deleted all that.
Not deleted. Didn't get
just
recorded.
Didn't record it to begin with.
Hey, you see that red button that's flashing?
It doesn't flash on Vegas.
Oh, no, this is an auditory podcast, so we have to make sure that...
Yeah, people can see the red light.
Make sure the red
light's on the
radio. Theater of the mind. Theater of the mind.
Yeah. So, what did everyone think of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Hated it.
That's not what you said before.
Hated it. Two snaps in a circle.
Terrible. It was terrible. That's not terrible.
No, I loved it. Of course I loved it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was Marvel Comics on television and not screwed up.
Yeah.
Considering I'm the self-professed DC guy when it comes to comic books, when it comes to anything superhero-ish or comic-ish on TV, it doesn't matter what the company is, Marvel, DC, Image, I like it all. I thought S.H.I.E.L.D. was good. For a pilot, it was a typical average pilot. There's very few pilots I've really seen that really have wowed me. Star Trek
the
Next
only,
Generation. Nah.
The only one I can think of is My Name is Earl. The pilot might have been the best episode of that show.
Possibly.
You didn't like the pilot for Chuck?
I've never watched Chuck.
Okay.
I had to say that quietly. I don't want people to know. It might hurt my nerd cred.
I didn't see it on the first run either, but, it, you know. Of course, people will disagree with me, but hell, dude, The Walking Dead was still, to me, one of the best pilots out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
Pilots are really hard to do, though.
They are.
That's how they.
I mean, if you don't shoot the right pilot, I mean, the series won't even get picked up, so.
See, I think Arrow's pilot last year, I mean.
Was very good.
That was solid. To nail what they did and the concept they did,
right.
Definitely brought comic book pilots up to.
Because my fear with that show was is they were going to spend either the whole pilot or the whole first few episodes of just the island.
Right.
Yeah, I can't stand comic book origin stories. they're the worst thing.
Yeah.
If you, especially the movies, like the Fantastic Four movie, that's why that was so terrible. It was the origin story.
Yeah.
You need to get into the action.
Right.
Well, I think the Nolan Batman one did it right.
I don't know. I still think some of the best origin stories were. I mean, I still love the Iron Man one, but honestly, Superman. And I think Mike and Eric, we've talked about this before, but man, the first Superman is hard to beat, man.
Yeah,
that Christopher Reeve one, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I agree with that.
Oh yeah, we're not talking about Superman Returns. Superman Returns was.
I wasn't talking about that one either.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't so much of an origin story, though. I mean, you know, they had the whole origin in there, but, you know, it got to him as Superman, as Clark Kent, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
See, and I'll take Keaton's origin over the Christian Bale origin any day.
Ditto.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the Hulk.
The second one.
Ed Norton had
the
best.
Yeah, because they just glanced through it real quick.
Yeah.
Wait, there was a Hulk movie before that?
Okay, well, we called it Hulk.
Actually, the Bill Bixby Hulk for TV was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
For that time period, that origin was a great pilot episode as well.
Yeah, when it comes to superhero shows on TV, honestly, the Incredible Hulk to me is one of the best shows that were for the time.
Yep.
And still the Bill Bixby to me is will always be Bruce Banner, you know, I mean, or David Banner, however
David
you want to call it.
Well, it's one of those two where, what, 5 years after the show ended, they were able to come back for a made for TV movie.
Yeah.
And it still held.
The one with Thor?
Oh, well,
I think that was like the last one.
There was the death.
There was the death in Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one had Daredevil?
I think that might have been death.
That would have been the death of the Incredible Hulk.
That was so cool to me because I obviously didn't see them when they were first on, but
they're on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw them sometime in the 90s, I would say.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. They have like Thor. I loved Thor in the Hulk movie. That was like my favorite Thor.
Yeah.
That guy was cool. That was funny.
Yeah.
So to delve into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what would y'all think with them starting off with the Hooded Hero, which is a clip we've seen numerous times in the previews, in the trailers, but to come find out he's been implanted with this centipede.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Chitauri tech.
That helps. That also includes the Extremis.
Yeah.
Correct.
And gamma radiation. And the super serum.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And this is the way to tie everything together.
And this was also tying the show, or at least this episode, back to Iron Man 3 as well.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I like it.
I want to know how they got their hands on, you know, the super soldier serum and other stuff.
People have been trying to replicate it for years, even before that, and I think they even mentioned that.
Well, that's how the Hulk came about.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the origin that they're going for with the Hulk and everything now.
Right. Well, wouldn't the only other person who would possibly have the formula, since he was involved with it, be Stark, since his dad was involved with it?
No one has the super soldier formula, clearly. But right. all those attempts, even the attempts to replicate it, like the one that created the Hulk, you know, those were top secret, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. projects too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But so, they said that, that Tony Stark's father was actually a founding member of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Howard.
Yeah.
Howard Stark. And, so.
And actually that's in the Peggy Carter short on the Iron Man DVD. They show some of that.
Right. I like how it's all, you know, like you said, just all closely knit together, and the references to the films and other Marvel properties and Disney properties was just well played. Well played, Marvel Studios.
Yeah, there were a lot of Easter eggs in there, like when, oh, what were they? Fitz and Simmons, when Simmons said that, you know, are you ready for a journey into mystery?
Yeah. Well, I loved how, you know, when he first brings it up, you know, we're going to go see Fitz Simmons. Yeah, and he just rolls over the and they go, okay, so which one's Fitz Simmons? Well, that's Fitz, that's Simmons.
They were the highlight for me of the first episode, at any rate.
I kind of like Skye. I mean, she was...
She's hot.
Well, yeah.
Besides that, I loved how she's the conspiracy theorist, which I have several of those at work, and I'm sure we all do.
Fangirl.
I'm one of those people.
And,
was that your Alex Jones impersonation? Because it was pretty close.
But when Coulson gives Ward the truth serum and lets her have at it.
That was funny.
What a way to try and get someone to trust you.
I kind of thought that's what was going on, too.
What a way to get ratings.
They got in there.
Yeah. What a way to get ratings because, you know, 15 minutes in, you've got Chloe Bennett almost, you know, trying to get down and dirty with the Brett Dalton over there. Just like,
yeah,
hello. I'm Chloe Bennett, and I look better without my jacket on.
Yeah, that was the point of that scene seemed to be, hey, look at Chloe Bennett's boobs.
That's right.
I don't know of a geek that was not complaining.
See, we didn't bring this up with the girls here.
Yeah, we don't want to get slapped.
You mean you don't know of a geek that was complaining?
That's right.
That's it.
I thought it was kind of funny that Skye, when they were talking about the cosplay girls outside Stark Tower, and she was like one once. Time.
Oh, that was the best. That was one of the best things out there. Everybody laughed so much over at D23 when we saw it at the special screening.
I like when she's like, and you'll never find me. They open the door. She's like, what up?
Yeah.
I like how Aljon just sort of drops in. Oh, I went to D23 and saw this months before all you schmucks.
Hey, you know what?
Sort of casually.
Hey, but if he really wanted to rub it in, he could have said he was at San Diego Comic-Con, saw it there, then saw it at D23.
Well, we were invited to San Diego Comic-Con, but I never can make it.
Oh, I would love to go.
One of these days.
Yeah. One of these days we're going to have to do a joint Tiki Room Weeby Geeks adventure out to Comic-Con.
Once we're big enough that we can do something on the stage.
Host a panel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, I'd love to moderate a panel. That'd be great. Could moderate. Yeah. Marvel
Chris Hardwick. Chris Hardwick moderates all the panels at Comic-Con, I think.
Chris Hardwick, Smardwick's Nerdist, whatever.
I mean, he does do like 5 or 6 panels a year.
I tell you though, Chris is a great dude. You know what? And you know, just for the simple fact that he quoted, you know, he had a new word called quements. I mean, that's just brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean,
I love Hardwick, but I love to like pretend that I hate Hardwick, and he's like my enemy.
Yeah, we can't hate Chris Hardwick because he's what we aspire to be.
Yeah.
In some respects. I mean, who wouldn't want to host the, you know, if we could be on Nerdist Channel and have this, Weeby Geeks on there, you know, we'd love to be on Nerdist Channel. Hell, you know, who wouldn't want to be on Nerdist?
That would be my ticket to get on the Todd Glass Show every week too.
Oh my God.
I could stop annoying Mike by going off onto weird tangents. I could just save it for Todd.
I wonder if they would be open to hosting a wrestling podcast on Nerdist.
I would start watching wrestling beyond that.
Yeah, right. Okay, so anyway, off topic.
Maybe that's something you and I need to do, Alger.
Do wrestling? Hell yeah, I'll do wrestling.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys go and be on Nerdist without me. I will hunt you down.
No, I'm saying for We Be Geeks.
There you go.
Okay. We do a wrestling show.
Hell yeah.
Okay, I thought you were like, hey, Algin, you and me should go be on the Nerdist Network.
Screw these other schmucks.
Yeah. So the whole... I hate when I brain fart like this. Getting back to S.H.I.E.L.D., how about the... I know Jessica brought it up. It was either Jessica or Liz brought it up earlier, the whole... what Sky brings up. With great responsibility, or with great power brings great, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I liked that much.
I took it.
It's, you know, either say it or don't say it.
I think, to me, it was one of those Marvel was saying, you know, we could use the Spider-Man character, as Algin cleared up last time. we had this show. that Marvel
annals of history.
That the Marvel characters are free reign for the TV series.
Maybe that
was a jab at Sony going.
True.
We could do it.
I think that scene would have been funnier if when she said with great power becomes, and he goes, what, great responsibility?
Yeah.
And then she goes, no, a bunch of other crap. See, we did three rows for you, Marvel. There you go.
Boom.
Boom.
So
I thought there were maybe, I liked the Easter eggs that they had, but I thought there were maybe too many of them.
Hmm.
All stuffed into the pilot. Because I counted like five or six.
But that's the way you're going to hook the real geeks.
Right. Yeah, but they're, face it, we're going to be watching anyway.
Well, that's true.
Well, I think it was more to capture the non-geeks. To throw it in there.
The non-geeks aren't going
to
get the journey into mystery and with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah. Well, they might get the great power one.
Maybe. But I don't know, Spider-Man is very famous. He's one of the most recognizable superheroes.
Right.
But that requires at least a little knowledge more than, hey, that's Spider-Man.
Well, the journey into mystery thing for sure. But, you know, the other thing too is the fact that they dropped the Disney reference with Agent Fitz's Seven Dwarf probe.
And hi-ho, hi-ho.
That was a little too on the nose for me, but, But
I just wanted to sing it again because Mike didn't record it the last time, and I spent 5 years in chorus in high school. So
there you go.
I just wanted to show off a little.
How long before there's a Star Wars reference?
Well, you know, the funny thing I was going to say was during Once Upon a Time, the last season, as soon as the Star Wars purchase was made, the following week, they recut a portion of Once Upon a Time so that, they actually cut in one of the characters, Elizabeth Swann, but one of their phone rings, and it was a Star Wars ringtone. And it was like the best Easter egg that they had next to the reference of Tron and the Incom computer.
Yeah. And they've done that on How I Met Your Mother, too, though.
Yeah, but How I Met Your Mother wasn't owned by Disney.
Yeah, owned by Disney. I'm just saying, you know.
I mean, there's
Star Wars references are everywhere. Everyone knows those.
Well, that's true, but like I said, the timing was really good.
Right.
Yeah.
For that. And
yeah, that was something they were able to do in quick post.
Yeah. And, something that, that was really cool. And this was just all the really cool, nerd drops, for us. And I thought that was really, really neat of them to do. So.
Right.
Yeah. I liked it, but like I said, I thought it might have been a little too excessive, and especially for the type of show that it is. Like, I just mentioned How I Met Your Mother, and they do that a lot on that show. But, the guys who are on that, Ted, Barney, Marshall, they're nerdy guys who love Star Wars.
Right. Mm-hmm.
True.
I don't get the feeling that the characters, other than Fitz and Simmons, are like really like nerd. Well, and Sky are like nerdy types.
Right.
But those references were made not to...
Yeah, they weren't characterized, and they were for us watching at home.
Exactly. Right. It was right. Part of their gay stuff, so.
I think we're underestimating Coulson, too. I mean, I think he's gotta be a nerd. If he wasn't, why did he have the Captain America cards with him?
True.
That's true.
He was a big Captain America fanboy.
Yes. So, I mean, nerd in his own right.
Yeah.
I know we brought it up last time. Characters you wouldn't mind seeing on the show from the Marvel Universe.
Black Panther.
Yeah. Sharon Carter.
Peter Parker.
For people at home, these are the answers that we gave before.
Well, I think I'm going to change mine. I want to see Terry Crews as Luke Cage.
Oh, gosh. That's great.
He would be a good Luke Cage.
So, you think...
But I think Cage is going to show up in the movies and not on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, but does he show up wearing the tiara and the blouse?
Oh, God. Here's what I think.
Christmas!
I think if they ever do a spinoff show, that they definitely should do a buddy, the buddy show, the agents, or what is it, the Heroes for Hire.
Oh, yeah.
And they need to run around in the old car that Starsky and Hutch used to drive around in.
So are you saying doing like a Black PlayStation Luke Cage?
Yes, it would be like Machete, but it would be the Heroes for Hire.
And I was thinking of more Black Dynamite.
Oh, Dolomite.
Dolomite's such a great movie.
Dolomite.
I love Dolomite.
Dude, it's the best.
So, I'm hookers, dude.
I swear to God, though, you know, when you look at Enter the Dragon and you look at the Kung Fu guy there with the afro, I so think of that as being Luke Cage all the time when I look at that dude.
Yeah. I would love to see Iron Fist, actually, now that you mentioned it. And in the costume.
Yeah.
that would be... Because they've done, you know, in the comics, and especially in Thor, and I mentioned I love this, they kept the Jack Kirby designs for Thor.
Yeah.
But I would love to see how they would pull off Iron Fist in that ridiculous green disaster that he wears.
Unitard.
Yeah.
I think Terry Crews is a much better fit for Luke Cage than the rumored Hulk. Or rumored Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, God.
He wouldn't know.
It's like saying Triple H would be a good Thor, and I'm like, I just, no.
No, Triple H would be a much better Conan.
Well, he tries to be. Anyway.
Conan O'Brien? He doesn't have red hair, does he? It seems to me like he does, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be on the next podcast. It'll be like, what professional wrestler would you like to see show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, jeez.
Nice.
Jimmy Snuka would be my answer.
Jimmy Snuka.
Daniel Bryan.
Ultimate Warrior.
I think I might have told this story on the podcast before, but the last wrestling match I saw, I just happened to be flipping through the dials, and I stopped because it was Ric Flair wrestling Jimmy Snuka. But it was in like 2006.
You must have been watching like AWA or...
It was WWF, WWE.
Oh, interesting.
It was in like 2006 or 2007, and it was Snuka and Ric Flair. And I was like, wow, this would have been great 20 years ago.
Anyway, that's funny.
So where do you think the show's going to go? All right, are we going to see more Marvel characters then? I hope they could do more of backstory on Agent May.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know that Melinda May works down there in the basement of the S.H.I.E.L.D. office because she ended up saving the whole Chinese, theocracy.
And then became a doctor in Chicago?
Yeah,
the people who got that joke aren't on the show anymore, Al John.
What's that?
I got the joke.
Got that joke aren't on anymore.
I got the joke.
I was just going to add, she saves China, and somehow Disney bestows her a princess when she was when she's not a royalty.
Right. Well, didn't she end up in, like, there was some kind of Mulan? And by the way, guys, if you don't know, Melinda May, Ming-Na, who plays Melinda May, was the voice of Mulan.
Yep.
Yes.
In the Disney film, the Disney's Mulan. And then, of course, I think the sequel, I want to say she ended up marrying the prince. So I think.
Well, he wasn't even a prince. He's a general in the army.
Oh, he's a general.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's right. She was dubbed a princess. That's right.
Yeah. She's like the only Disney princesses that was never a princess. Or never from royalty.
That's right. But because you saved the country, you become one.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Apparently, because George Takei, a Japanese.
What do you want her to do?
What? No, right? Well, that was royalty. That's royal act. Oh, and by the way, Ming-Na was also in Street Fighter.
Oh, that's true. Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Which was great because I was like, wasn't she in that? Because, I mean, surely she was been in other movies and she looked so familiar. And that was like, what, Street Fighter was from like 9, 10 years ago. And she looks so much younger, but she still looks good now.
That's not the Wait. Van Damme one, is it?
I guess so.
That was like 20 years ago.
That's more than 10 years ago, yeah.
I think I was in high school when that came out.
Good Lord. When did that come out?
Jeez. I want to say like 96.
It's coming.
Okay. 1994. I was a junior in high school.
Yeah, well, that was the year.
I was in college.
That was my sophomore year.
I might have been in middle school.
Sophomore year of college.
All right, I'm not the oldest one here. Woohoo!
Oh, no, I think that's a toss-up between Algin and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Jess gone, I'm the youngest. That's depressing because my girlfriend's nickname for me is Old Man.
Aw.
God, if that's what you are, then what am I?
I'm an ogre, so it doesn't matter.
You know. Well, anyway, I'm the Watcher, so let's move on.
Aljon would kind of be a cool Watcher name, actually.
Yeah, I guess I could be.
You could, like, Watcher. Hang out with Uatu.
Oh, there you go. That's what we do. We're just buddied up there in the heavens, and we just look down and watch all this like Robot Chicken. So,
yeah,
she's been in Phineas and Ferb. She's been in Adventure Time.
I remember her from The Single Guy with Jonathan Silverman.
That's a great show.
She was on SGU, Stargate Universe.
Yes, she was.
Yep.
The Single Guy was a great show, by the way, Eric. That's funny you mentioned that. I love that show.
I used to watch it. Like, it was on like after Caroline in the City, I think.
Yeah, both good shows. Gosh, yeah. We're total geeky now.
I used to love Caroline in the City.
Well, how could you not? It was freaking What's-Her-Face from Back to the Future. So
yeah.
She did DC, too. She was on The Batman.
Ah, yeah.
Yep. She was one of the detectives, wasn't she?
Yeah, Detective Ying or something, yeah.
Algin, you've got the numbers, right, on how it did for me?
Yeah, I still... once again, the show did really well, and I believe the promo that they're running on ABC is the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. ended up being the number one rated drama over the past 4 years as a debut, which is pretty respectable.
Yeah, the highest rated debut of a drama since 2009, and I heard what the show was that was the previous one, and it was not that auspicious. It was something that canceled after one season.
Yeah. Well, according to Entertainment Weekly's website, the show was up against Dads on Fox, NCIS on CBS, The Voice on NBC, and Whose Line Is It Anyway, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
On CW?
The new one with Aisha Tyler.
Right. So here's the telling part. So in total viewers, S.H.I.E.L.D. ended up getting about 11 million, nearly 12 million viewers, and CBS's NCIS raked in a little over 19 million viewers. So yes, clearly NCIS is the winner, in a close second would be The Voice with 14, over 14. So even if it's a respectable third place for S.H.I.E.L.D., the demographic rating from viewers 18 to 49, S.H.I.E.L.D. ended up racking up, tying The Voice with 4.6 million viewers.
Yeah. And that's important because that's what the ad rates are based on, is 18 to 49.
Right. That's right.
They don't, I mean, you know, it's great that, like, you know, it's great that NCIS gets, you know, an additional, 8 million people over the age of 50. But that means S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to have the highest ad rates of the night.
You know, funny you mention that, because did you find that the ads were quite interesting because I saw there was, like, of course, everybody was advertising Iron Man on Blu-ray DVD, and of course the new Thor, but there was Angry Birds Star Wars, and there was, like, another Star Wars Darth Vader type of ad that I forgot what ad was running.
Pringles.
Yeah, it was funny.
So it was basically like a big cross promotional orgy of ads from Disney.
Yeah. And if another thing about the ads, if you paid attention, the ads did skew younger. They were cars and cell phones and stuff for young kids.
Yeah. And of course, if you watch NCIS, you're probably hearing the voice of Patrick Stewart talk about luxury cars, which is.
Yeah. And right. Geritol and what the hell is that, Insure. That's what I was thinking of.
By the way, we sound like the biggest assholes right now.
Yeah. You know? Well, if anyone watches NCIS, they're probably not listening to this.
Yeah, my dad's a big fan of NCIS.
Yeah, they can't work the computer machine and watch NCIS.
Oh,
that's so cool. The worst part about it is Mike and I are like 10 years away from being that demographic.
I'm probably there now because I do watch NCIS.
See, I watch CSI and I watch Criminal Minds, and I love those shows. But I tell you what, though, man, I still my wife is watching The Voice, and I probably would be watching The Voice just because I like to see people think that they're good and get burned in flames when they realize they're not. So,
To me, that's what the train wreck, the audition episodes of American Idol is for.
Oh, exactly right.
Those are staged.
I don't get it. They are because.
Oh, they are, yeah.
I tell you know what? I would love to see, the indie comic America, or was it America's Got Powers as an actual, as like an actual show. That would be an amazing show.
Didn't Stan Lee do that show already?
So I want to be a superhero.
Oh, I don't want to be a superhero. No, well, you see, I'm talking about real superheroes, not want to be superheroes.
Well, he's got something similar. Stanley Superhumans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
That's a great show, by the way.
Yeah.
But
Stanley will do anything for a buck, though. I mean,
the Generalissimo is hard up.
Yeah. I take it you follow him on Twitter.
I do.
He's got one of the most amusing Twitter feeds.
By the way,
when he's active,
Stan Lee's YouTube channel is amazeballs.
Is it?
If you haven't seen Stan Lee's YouTube channel, you need to, because it's so good.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know what? That's something that wasn't on the pilot. Where the hell was Stan Lee?
Yeah. Well, you know that's something Jim Steranko did.
I think the requirement's only for.
The movies.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but still, it would have been cool to have Stan Lee in the damn pilot, for heaven's sake.
Let me see if I can find this in Steranko's review. And the reason I keep talking about Steranko's review is Steranko basically created S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
I mean, you know, Stan and Jack came up with the concept, but it didn't take off until Steranko came on board. He said, "Hell, I would have bought Everyone Drinks for a quickie paste Pot Pete appearance or even a walk-on by Stan Lee."
Yeah, I love Paste Pot Pete. It's like, but you know the thing about Pete is that he's actually in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon on Marvel Universe.
Isn't he the Trapster now or something?
Yeah, he's a Trapster. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny when, and, cause I think they're doing a great job of doing the cartoons on Disney XD because as an adult, I'm amused. And when you can amuse me, you know, in a yeah. cartoon, I'm pretty happy with it. And,
see, I'm one of those guys with Ultimate, I care for Ultimate Spider-Man, but I don't think if I was ever fair to that show because it wasn't Spectacular Spider-Man.
Sure. Well,
no way you were going to follow that up with a show that I was going to enjoy as much.
Oh, you mean you weren't a big fan of the Fantastic Four animated series of the 90s?
I was, but I was 12.
You know what I never could understand, and maybe you guys can help me out. I know I'm off topic, but why the hell was there no Human Torch and they put Herbie in there?
I have no clue.
That was the one from the 60s.
Oh, was that?
I know the reason. Yeah, okay, I know maybe. The reason. I can explain it to you. See, the rumor was that the television executives were afraid kids were going to light themselves on fire.
Yep.
That's not true. The real reason was the Human Torch himself was licensed to another company.
Oh.
So they didn't have the rights to put him in. That's why they came up with Herbie.
Well, that was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Herbie was like the worst. But by the way, he made a great action figure. I'm sorry.
Which Spider-Man was it? The spectacular. Which Spider-Man was the one that was Neil Patrick Harris?
That was the MTV Spider-Man.
Okay,
that was not bad, by the way.
No, that wasn't bad. The spectacular though was by far my favorite.
Was that the one on Fox?
No, that was Spider-Man the animated series. Oh, spectacular that's right. Spider-Man was on I think UPN or WB.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It was just like a couple of years ago and it only ran for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And it had Gwen Stacy for a change. It was awesome. The way they did the Green Goblin on that was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. I know which one you're talking about. I remember that one.
It was right before the Disney purchase.
Yeah, and it sort of got canceled because of rights issues.
Yeah.
And it was
wasn't that around the same time that they were doing the X-Men, and kind of almost continuing it off the movie.
Do you mean Wolverine and the X-Men?
No, it's prior to that.
X-Men Evolution.
Yes. X-Men Evolution was on Fox, was it not?
It was on the WB.
Oh, on yeah. WB.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's right. Spectacular Spider-Man was after.
It had Gwen Stacy and it had Mary Jane, though, too, didn't it?
Wow, yeah. I totally opened up a whole wormhole here.
Yeah, you can't get me talking about Spider-Man and Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane because I will go down that wormhole.
Sorry, man.
Going back to S.H.I.E.L.D. then.
let's get back on S.H.I.E.L.D.
On the first run of this episode, the first thing we mentioned was our take on what do you think the deal with Coulson is and how was he brought back. Mm-hmm. We didn't even cover that yet.
Yeah, we didn't get to that. Now, no. Was it you that said LMD?
That was, yeah. My theory, we might as well remember because he says that, you know, he was only down, what, 40 seconds?
Yeah.
And eight seconds. 8 seconds.
I think is what he said.
Yeah. He initially said 40 seconds, and then he clarifies, he goes, you know, 8 seconds feels like a lifetime, so it doesn't matter how long I say it is.
And that he recouped in Tahiti.
Yeah, but Maria Hill basically said, yeah, that didn't happen. She told...
With Shep.
With Doc Shepard.
She told Book that didn't happen. When he came on, I was in my living room. I was like, it's Book!
Yep, that's what I was like.
That I got an actual text message. I can't even speak right now. A text from one of our DJs on Sorcerer Radio. And he goes, it's Book. And I was passively watching at that point, you know, and... I was like, what?
Because you'd already seen it twice.
Yeah, well, you said it, not me this time. And and I just laughed, and he goes, are you watching the show right now? And I just said, yeah, I am. And then I realized, oh, yeah, it's freaking Shepard. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Based on all that, my theory is that this Coulson is a life model decoy, but...
Yeah, I was thinking closer to the Vision.
Yeah, and I thought originally that Coulson would be brought back as the Vision because that would make kind of sense, but you know, I'm leaning toward Life Model Decoy, but I could go either way, or it could just be straight up a clone. You just never know.
Yeah. A Skrull.
There are other options.
Oh my god, Skrull Invasion.
Well, what?
Secret Wars.
even though we
that was something wasn't brought up last time.
Hey. Yeah, Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion. Yeah.
I thought Clark Gregg said that no, he's not a Life Model Decoy, or Whedon's has said.
Yeah,
someone has said he's not an LMD.
But
do you think that might have just been to throw it off?
Yeah, and Clark Gregg originally said Vision. That's where that rumor came from.
He would make a great.
They say
Vision
stuff all the time, though.
I think he looks like the Vision. I think he could definitely pull off being the Vision, and I would love to see that. I think it would be so cool to.
Red face with the gold cape.
and holding the Captain America cards for Cap to sign.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think Whedon is a pretty straight shooter when it comes to stuff like this. He does like to play tricks on the audience to subvert your expectations, like adding Tara to the credits in the last episode she was in.
Right.
On Buffy. But I don't think, you know, if he says, you know, no, it's not an LMD, I don't think he would just come out and lie about it.
Now, do you honestly think they brought back Coulson because of the fans, or that he had planned it the way he alluded to, where you're not sure if he really died from the movie?
I think that as
whether it would be in the show or another movie.
I think as long as there was a plan for a show, it was going to be around Clark Gregg.
Yeah, but I don't think they even had. I don't even realize that.
I think that's why I'm saying, like, not just for a show, but if it was in a show or another movie, I think he had always planned to bring him back somehow.
Yeah. I think so, because it was said somewhere, I think, by Whedon. He goes, you know, when they asked, "Well, why did you kill Coulson?" He goes, "Well, I had to have something for the Avengers to rally behind."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, is that he's enough of a comic book guy, obviously, being the big writer that he is.
Yeah.
Is that when you kill somebody, you really don't ever kill somebody.
Yeah. Comic book death.
Yeah. Comic book death. And I knew that, you know, I felt that way about The Walking Dead, and I felt that way about this. It's like, if you don't see the, you know, even when you see the person being cremated, you know that they could still come back, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, look at, you know, Bucky in Captain America.
Exactly.
And we know he's in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Clearly he's in Winter. He is the Winter Soldier.
And by the time Spider-Man 2 comes out, Peter Parker will be alive again.
Oh, well, amazing Spider-Man. Superior Spider-Man is either going to be the best or worst thing that ever happened to Spider-Man. I'm going to give you my opinion on Superior Spider-Man because you brought it up, and, you know, I like to derail the show.
I kind of did then.
It's written by Dan Slott, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm very familiar with Dan Slott's work, and Dan Slott is probably the biggest fanboy working in comics. I don't think that Dan Slott is doing this book to say, look how much better at being Spider-Man Otto Octavius is, which is what people seem to be getting from it on some level. Like, he's so much cooler than Peter Parker. I don't think that's the point, and I think it's going to become apparent during the run that Otto Octavius is much worse at being Spider-Man than Peter Parker. That only Peter Parker can be Spider-Man. That's where he's going.
The problem with Dan Slott, though, is he's come out and said, or argued at the beginning, well, this is permanent. Everybody knows it's not permanent.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, this is the way it's going to be. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Everybody knows when the next Spider-Man movie comes out, it's going to be Peter Parker again, because people are going to be like, confused.
I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the timeline for it. Like, coincide with the Spider-Man movie. Bringing back, if you notice in the December solicitations, they're going to have Spider-Man 700.1 through .5, which are Peter Parker stories.
They're their .1 stuff again.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily going to coincide with Amazing Spider-Man 2, the end of this storyline. But, I mean, yeah, Dan Slott might say, this is the status quo for the moment. But we all know Peter Parker is going to be back as Spider-Man.
Well, that's because they're going to tell the rest of these stories leading up to the fact that the Ultimate Universe is going to merge with the regular universe, and then all of a sudden
I don't think that's going to happen either.
I don't know. Miles Morales is coming in.
Yeah, he's going to go back, too, I think. Because Bendis has basically said this isn't the end of the Ultimate Universe. It's not the end of the Ultimate line.
You know what?
Which is kind of disappointing.
You know what?
I mean, what's that?
The good thing is that we could talk about this on another podcast.
Yes.
I want to get one thing, and then we'll go back to the Shield. The thing with Hunger and the end of the Ultimate Universe is Bendis said, the Ultimate Universe isn't going to end here. And I think that takes away from the dramatic tension going into that event because it's not the main Marvel universe. When Galactus shows up in Fantastic Four, the Fantastic Four are going to beat him. When Galactus shows up in Ultimate Marvel, you're not so sure because sales are down. People have been saying they should end the Ultimate Marvel universe since the end of Ultimate Spider-Man issue 7.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it sort of takes away from the tension of, could it be, could they really die?
Right.
And to tie that back into S.H.I.E.L.D., this is the same way I felt about the ending of that episode with the Hooded Hero. He's not going to die because they already said that J. August Richardson has a 3-episode arc.
Right.
Throughout the season. So, yeah.
Well, if you're not paying attention, if you're just a casual viewer, then
that's true.
You don't know that. Us fanboys, we're going to look up everything we can on IMDb and other spoiler sites to see what dirt we can get, cuz we don't mind being spoiled.
Yeah.
Cuz just because we read about it, we still want to see how it plays out.
Exactly. Yeah, I do like to see how it plays out, but I do like the edge, especially with the Joss Whedon program where he does kill off main characters. You want to have that tension like in Game of Thrones where someone could die for real.
Right.
If you already know going into it that they're not going to die, it's interesting to see how it plays out, but it takes away some of the edge of your seat tension.
Well, I think that's something that they probably could have explored, but I think as much as Joss Whedon is influencing the show and being the showrunner or whatever he's doing, it seems to me like they still have the network execs to deal with, because something like, for example, The Walking Dead, you get invested with somebody and spend a whole episode with somebody, and then you only to find them dying or dead.
Yeah.
Well, it was like, what's his name in season 3?
With The Walking Dead?
Yeah, with Walking Dead. I can't remember his name. It was the prisoner.
Axel?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when the governor and his crew comes, he takes one between the eyes.
Yeah. Oh, I would say.
Yeah. And then is used as a bulletproof shield?
Yeah.
Human shield, yeah.
Yeah, I would say the best example of that, though, in television is Ned Stark.
Who?
Game of Thrones. Is anyone
following that? No, I don't watch that. I don't have those channels.
Okay. No one has seen Game of Thrones?
I hate to admit it, but I'm not watching Game of Thrones.
No, it's the same thing. I don't have the channels.
Okay. Well, I think I have to explain this now, and I don't want to ruin it for everyone.
Go ahead, it's fine.
Okay. In the first season of Game of Thrones, Sean Bean, from Lord of the Rings, plays Ned Stark, and he's the main character of the show in the entire first season, and at the end of the 9th episode, he gets his head cut off and stuck on a pike.
Right.
So, they spent 9 episodes making you love Ned Stark, because he's the only hero on that show, still, pretty much. He's the only absolute, morally upright hero character, and he gets killed. That's the kind of thing. You know, Whedon can do that. You know, you've seen it in Firefly and Buffy and whatnot.
Right.
Where people aren't as safe as they are on other shows like this.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to see anybody from this cast die yet.
Well, not yet.
No. It's, well, right now it's way too soon.
Yeah.
If it's going to happen, I don't see it happening till later on. I mean, I'm talking later seasons.
Yeah. Let me read you Jim Steranko's comment about the end, and you guys tell me what you think of his opinion here. Okay, he says, if only, at the episode's close, a well-meaning security guard who worked in the subway terminal would have shot and killed the hooded hero to really punch up the philosophical dichotomy between what he termed the bad guy and the hero. Or would that kind of poetic irony been too over the top for a comic book-inspired TV series?
Could have happened.
Could have happened.
Do you think that would have been better? Well, it would have been darker.
It would have been darker, but that's not to say you can't do dark. I mean,
yeah.
Just look at Once Upon a Time. I mean, they've done dark.
Yeah, but I just think
for a first episode for a pilot, yeah, you don't want to do that right away.
Yeah.
And I think too, as we mentioned, I don't remember if we mentioned it in this show or the unreleased show, but the fact that this tends to skew a little bit young, and we talked about that during the ads.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if that would be too much.
Well, skewing young is, you know, 18 to 25, 18 to 30, not...
Yeah.
They did have a younger audience.
Well, hold on a second.
TV,
now, let's
TV
look.
Show.
Now, let's look at something. You know, something that I was really kind of surprised at is the time slot that S.H.I.E.L.D. runs.
Oh, yeah.
Runs 8 o'clock.
And as
family hour.
And as a programmer, you know, because I come from a broadcast background, you just don't do that. I mean, you know, you put it in the family hour if you really are attracting so many people and you're doing this. I was very surprised that it didn't take the second time slot on that night. I don't know. It's just
9 p.m.
Yeah, I thought it would have, for sure it would have been, there would have been some type of lead into the show and then 9 o'clock it would start, but no, it started right at 8.
And, yeah, well, what lead in do you give Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. though? I mean, it's probably going to end up being their biggest show.
Well, my fear when I first mentioned way back when the time slot, and I guessed 8 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
My fear was that S.H.I.E.L.D. was going to be used as a lead in for the result show for Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, which they seem to have gotten rid of.
Thank God.
I don't
now
watch
get rid of the rest
stars,
of the show.
But... Hey, Bill Nye's on there.
Attempting.
Yeah. Seeing Bill Nye dance is kind of worth it. I mean, not to sit through the show, but, you know, they put clips on YouTube.
That was like seeing Buzz Aldrin try and dance.
I wouldn't underestimate Buzz Aldrin. Did you ever see that kid who came up to him and asked him why he was lying about the moon landing?
Yes.
He just knocked that dude right on his ass.
So...
He's still pretty limber for an old guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what expectations does everyone have for the show at this point?
Well, I think it could go one of three ways. It could be mostly an action show, it could be mostly a spy show, or it could be a procedural. And that last one is the one that I least want to see.
I think it's going to be more of a combination of the action spy.
Yeah. That's ideal, what I would like to see. Something that really, really seems like, going back to what inspired, you know, the original Nick Fury, something like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. or
right.
The Avengers.
Or even Mission Impossible.
Yeah. And when I say the Avengers in this context, I mean Steed and Peel.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Marvel's Avengers.
I wonder how many people got stung in the ass trying to download that as a torrent, and then all of a sudden Uma Thurman pops up or something.
Well, you know, in the UK, like, they called it Avengers Assemble.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. You know, I think the show is going to be great. I hope. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's one genre that can definitely be exploited, is that whole Mission Impossible kind of that spy action genre. And it would be allowing for a lot of intrigue and a lot of back and forth between, you know, Hydra or AIM or whoever else is running this centipede project. We don't know who's doing it.
I don't think I think the rising tide and the centipede thing are separate.
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, yeah. They are separate.
The rising tide was what Sky was part of.
Yeah, but Sky knew about Centipede and S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't, right?
Right.
Where'd she get that information? It is possible that they're related, but the people in the rising tide in the front don't know about it.
Right.
Because are you familiar with Hydra in Ultimate Marvel?
Not so much. I really don't follow the Ultimate Universe.
They just introduced Hydra in Ultimate Marvel, and it's essentially a sort of a pastiche of the Tea Party.
Okay.
It's like a more militant version of the Tea Party, and that could be the direction they go on the show. Is Hydra is behind the rising tide, but you know, they're like the backers, the sort of shadowy backers, but the people like Sky don't realize that they're being used by this big evil interest.
So we're going to find out that the person behind the rising tide is Namor.
I know, that would be great.
For a second, I thought you were going to say David Koch.
You know, the funny thing, Aaron, is that you mentioned the whole political aspect, and it seems to me that's a page out of George Lucas's handbook, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And not only that, but the last act of the show was really kind of very heavy-handed politically in the messages it was trying to get across, and it was a little bit off-putting to me. And I hate to say that in an episode where I was so hyped up about it that there was anything off-putting on it, but it kind of took me out of universe for a little bit.
Yeah, I've only seen this once, so why don't you explain what you mean?
So I'm watching, you know, I'm watching the, thanks Eric, you were bringing that up again. You see, wasn't me. So in watching it both times, when you're at the bus station, you scroll down at the mural of all the symbols of the different, I guess, the makeup of America, you know, all the different cultures, people that are brought into the train station, and you see the mural, and then you see the hooded hero, you know, giving his little thing of like, I thought that I could be somebody and that we'd have opportunity and all this. And it was like very heavy handed politically. And personally, I think there's a time and place for all that, but I felt like it was really, really heavy handed. And I didn't want to be smacked in the face with that kind of stuff.
Right.
It just took me out of the story, out of the universe for a bit. And I figured that they could have found a better, less abrasive way of getting their point across. Like, I totally understand his point of view in doing that, but it seems to me like it's just so in your face that it was just not believable for me.
Right. Right, yeah. I agree. I mean,
actually, I didn't notice that at first glance.
I don't want to see.
Now that you mention it, I see it.
I don't want to see the show turn into a political platform to spew beliefs on a regular basis.
When has any of Joss Whedon's shows really been overtly political? Aside from, you know, he does have the things that he puts in his show, like, it was, Buffy the Vampire Slayer had the first lesbian kiss on television. But, I mean, it's not, he doesn't sort of, you know, go that in your face with it, really.
Right.
No.
He serves the plot first.
Well, I'll be honest. Although, you know, what the interaction between Coulson and, was it Will? The name of the hooded?
Ward. Ward. Agent Ward.
Ward. No, that's Agent Ward.
Oh, no, you're talking about the hooded. Michael.
Yeah, Michael something.
Okay, so as they were talking, going back and forth about being hero and being self-sacrificial and all that, I really dug Clark Gregg's performance and diffusing that situation and the tone that he had. In fact, I really liked Clark Gregg's performance throughout the entire pilot. The only other thing that I thought that was really kind of strange was the fact that, you remember when he was talking to Fitzsimmons about, don't ever tell me that you can't do it, or don't tell me that it can't be done.
Right.
Yeah.
That was kind of, it seemed a little forced. Because.
Yeah, a little schmaltzy.
Yeah, because during that whole time, you know, the whole character of Phil Coulson is like cool under pressure, you know? And matter what situation.
It's not the real Phil Coulson, remember?
That's right. Right, Ivy? So that was the only kind of, those are the only kind of two things that I'm a little critical about in the pilot that it's kind of took me out a little bit, is how uncharacteristic it was for Phil Coulson to say, you know, it seems to me like he pulled a Captain Kirk. It's like, you know, or no, a Han Solo, really. It's like, don't ever tell me the odds, basically, that,
right.
that thing. And then the very end. But other than that, I thought it was pretty damn good.
Oh, well, at the very end, you got to see Nick Fury's car.
Yeah.
The best.
Let me ask you this. Oh, yeah.
The damn car, man, Lola.
Yeah, the
Lola.
Spymobile is pretty cool.
See, the Kinks weren't talking about a transsexual. They were talking about a car. Nick Fury's car.
Now that you
wait, what? Okay.
Awesome.
So, I think that's going to wrap it up. I want to thank Algin and Aaron for sticking with us for the re-record.
Yeah, not
a problem.
Or the
it
would
have been
life.
Really disappointing if we had been planning a panel show with seven people and it ended up being just me and Mike.
I think we're going to find, by the way, that this whole season is going to lead up to the point of Tahiti, and hopefully that we will have a Nick Fury. They're saving all their dough to bring Samuel L. Jackson in for the cliffhanger.
But you know what? I think he would do it for nothing, almost.
I think he would.
Yeah. Jackson probably would, because
Jackson
doesn't need any more money.
I think Sam Jackson loves being Nick Fury.
Oh, he yeah.
Jackson would take TV money for this, yeah. No problem. Yeah.
If that, I mean. And I think if they wanted to, I think Robert Downey Jr. would do a cameo for almost nothing.
Oh, he's already said he wants to do it.
Yeah, he does that HTC commercial. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It took me 2-3 times seeing that commercial to realize that is Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. is in a position. He's in a position where he's not doing things for money. He's doing things because he wants to do them.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, that doesn't mean he's not going to get the money that he thinks he deserves if he's in a movie that makes $1 billion.
Well, movie-wise, he's going to get money, but I'm thinking if he does a cameo for this show, he would just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that note, we're going to say that's going to wrap it up for this Life Podcast Decoy, and until next time, we're out.
Give the evacuation code signal.
I will bring you back a snowball.
All right, cut the chatter.
This ship will self-destruct in 20 seconds. This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
It's overtime.
Adventure. Excellent.
Why didn't I take the blue pill?
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
Hold it. I said hold it.
By the way, why are we wearing bras on our heads?
Ceremonial.
Clark, I don't like the look of this neighborhood.
Come on, Ellen. It's important for the kids to witness the plight of the rebellion. Kids, you noticing all this plight? Roll them up.
This has been a BB Geeks production.